Testing, there we go. I want to thank Dr. North for inviting me here today. I am absolutely petrified, so I want to make some declarations from the beginning. I don't know Greek or Hebrew. I shall not embarrass the Lord Jesus Christ by trying to sound erudite today. I have sort of cooled off about preaching and teaching for a while because I'm getting a better age now, almost 60. Well, I believe in transition generation. It is my joy to support younger people. At my home church, I don't think I preach anymore at all. I teach Sabbath school, but I don't preach. I don't think I'm going to go to some part of the world and baptize souls. I think I'll pay for you to go to build your resume, because my resume is coming to a conclusion in 3 or 4 or 5 years. How do we begin? Let me begin with a critical thinking term called concept. Let me explain who I am, and then as I say what I say, you'll understand my background and what kind of Seventh-day Adventist I am. First, I wish to apologize publicly for those who are not Seventh-day Adventists, for I am speaking to an in-house organization at this time. This is like a family chat. You can imagine that you've preached a sermon, and now you're asking the folks in the audience what they heard. So my audience is not for those who are not members of our church. This is strictly for those within the Seventh-day Adventist church, and I say that going into it. I hope you will appreciate that, my honor and respect for those who are not of our faith as baptized members. I classify myself as a fully supportive member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. As a matter of principle, my monthly tithes and offering are far exceed any other budgetary line item. My wife Cynthia and I tested God by living far below our credit score so that the gospel of Christ can be advanced. Moreover, we have chosen deliberately and at great sacrifice to educate all three of our children from grade 1 through college in Seventh-day Adventist institutions. I can no more disown the dark periods of our church history than I can disown that the SDA Church is a global presence which brings relief and redemption to untold billions. While it is improper to say and arrogant to say that I am proud of my church, I do proclaim clearly I am extremely proud of what God has done, is doing, and promises to do through the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I, like President Obama, have accepted Christ as my personal Savior. However, my confession of faith is not an abrogation of my critical thinking and reasoning. I am honored to share my reflection of this chapel service at the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary. If you find occasion to challenge what I present, then my preparation and time has been worthwhile. If, on the other hand, you agree with all of my assumptions, then I have failed miserably. I am a product of the time in our church when we as a denomination chose to settle for the second best plan and form racially segregated conferences. My father at the time was an influential lay pastor who planted and pastored several churches in the regional work. As a young man, I was invited to follow my father by we interact with E.E. Cleveland, Charles Bradford, C.E. Dudley, Warren Banfield, C.D. Brooks, Calvin Rock, and many other of our church leaders. As a result of my peculiar background in Adventism, it is the gift of encouragement that is an integral part of my identity and witness today. While I have never been called to the ministry, I am unable to resist the imperative to encourage those who are in ministry. Perhaps no other person has been more open to advancing my gift than D.K. Nelson. My prayer today is that some encouragement will be spoken to your mind and heart by what I say to encourage you. Now, what is the thesis or the objective of my presentation today? I want to frame this in the concept of encouragement that flows from this hollow institution of learning and critical thinking. Over the 33 years I have served at the university, I am deeply indebted to the incredibly rich, diverse, and consistent flow of encouragement that meets me at my home church, the Niles Philadelphia SDA Church. In fact, today's sermon, to say today's title, has been stolen directly from seminarian Mead Adams' sermon, point number two. The administrators, faculty of this institution can be very thankful to God for such men and women as Marlon Lamont, James Price, Troy Levy, Mead Adams, Wayne Hewlett, Trisha Wynn, Pete Palmer, Donald Bettner, Stephen Stewart, Sally Smith, and many others, Charles Tapp, who have been blessed me by challenging me to be critical and forthrightly pushing me to think more deeply about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his absolutely irrational love for me, and the unavoidable personal response to his specific demands on my life and witness. What follows after the presentation of music on a DVD, because I'm always being multimedia, I will share with you some of the things that I am learning, and each time I'm confronted by the members, the seminarians, and the teachers, and the preachers, most of the students, I have to make a personal response. I am indebted to the Andrews, to the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary at Andrews University for now, one view from the pew, this time is personal. Run the DVD, please. Please, if you have that ready, let's get rolling here. We got 20 minutes. There you go. Okay. What you're going to hear are comments, my understanding as you young preachers and teachers and ministers come to my church everywhere and I pay attention. This is what I'm learning. One view from the pew. This is strictly personal, and this time it's personal. Heaven centrality of practice. This term blew me away because it got dead up in my cultural preferences. You know, I like me some shrimp. I like me some whatever, pork, beef, whatever. I got a problem. There won't be any of that in heaven. Little Debbie and I have had an affair for the last 35 years. Little Debbie won't be made up in heaven. I am totally at a discombobulation that there are only four food items in heaven: fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. And the only drink is the water flowing by the throne. I am in a total dizzy trying to connect my practice, what I do as a practicing Seventh-day Adventist, with how I will act and what I will do when I get to heaven. Suddenly, I'm not fussing about dress anymore. There's a robe of righteousness I got to be qualified for. The jewelry issue has fallen off as a significance to me because I got to have at least one star in my crown. And so I'm not really interested anymore on the pastor's wife who has six studs in her ear in the Adventist church. That's irrelevant to me. I'm more interested in making sure I have one star in my crown that I can lay at his feet. That's heaven's centrality of practice. In other words, all those who get there from every place in the world at all time were sort of like practice, behave, talk, and act precisely like Jesus. And he will know us because we are like him. I'm not giving up my culture. I'm going into the metaculture of the centrality of practice. And this is a great concept. I want to thank you for bringing that to my attention. My life here is to prepare to be in heaven. The next term is 11 to 1 members versus 9 to 5 members. An 11 to 1 member is when I go to church just in time for the sermon and leave right after. I don't care about Sabbath school. I don't care about AY. I'm an 11 to 1 member. Now, I'm not going to be put out because I bring my tithe and offering with me. Let's not be ridiculous here. But I found out that God needs me as a 9-to-5 member. I want to be in Sabbath school right down through potluck and everything else. In other words, my sole job on Sabbath is to be with the fellowship. I have no other place to be. So thank you for ensuring me that at times I was an 11-to-1 member, but by God's grace, I'm now getting to be a 9-to-5er. I'm being with the body of Christ all day and enjoying it. I like that. The term free rider, church hopping, I love it, and seeking suckers. What are those people? Let me give you a good example. Sabbath coming up, Barry Black will be in South Bend. Y'all know Barry Black? I'm not going. I'm not church hopping. I worship at the Niles Philadelphia Seventh Adventist Church. That's my appointed place to be in service and worship and to support my pastor. I am now what we now call an Oasis member. Here's what an Oasis member is. Think of my home church as a spring of refreshing water in the desert. My assignment as a member is to be there every time it's open to push back the dirt and the clutter so that anybody who comes to my local church can get a drink of living water. Amen. Now, it's important that I, like a bunch of dumb sheep, don't soil the water myself. Stay with me, church. I cannot run down to South Bend and help them get their pool clean. They got enough members down there. My assignment is 1327 Broadway in Niles, Michigan, just in case Christ sends along some weary soul who needs a drink of water at my home church. I am now, thanks to you, an Oasis member. It is my job to keep my local Oasis open with the living water for whoever needs it. Amen? Amen. Love it. Aging Christian social societies versus Jesus' distribution center. God have mercy. I'm confused what to do at age 60. You know, I just enjoy going to church. It's nice. I enjoyed myself. But what did I do to give anything away? I'm under the conviction that I must be involved in a fellowship now where we give something to the community consistently, regularly, and it's like the top item of our budget. Church, stay with me here. I could very easily, having served the Lord for like 40, 50 years of my life, go to church every Sabbath, sit there, pay my tithe and offering, and just become an aging Christian social society. We go to potluck and do else, and that's not enough. I'm insisting now that my local fellowship, where I worship, must have a fully funded outreach of some sort, some type in the community. Amen, church. Amen. If you got it, you got to give some of it away. I don't want to make you mad. I don't want to offend anybody politically. But I think the kingdom of God is based on spreading some of the wealth around. I don't want to be arrogant, but they held all things in common and the church grew daily. Please forgive me for being politically incorrect in Bergen County. All right. Private worship plus singularity of sanctuary. I can have worship by myself. I don't have to go to church. Yep, that's how I used to be. But thanks to the seminary professors coming and the seminarians, the new term is singularity of sanctuary. I don't want to get deep in it. I don't know Old Testament. All I know is that when the high priest went in once a year, amen, he went in by himself. I'm finding out now that when I come to my time of worship, it's never a private worship. Jesus is there to meet me, and he is not playing with me. I prayed so many times about my wife, about the Adventist church, about everything else, and the Lord said, Now, are you through talking at me? He said, I'm glad you are now in the singularity of sanctuary. It's just you and me, and I want to talk to you about you. Lord, please help my wife. He said, no. I'm talking to you about you. I've given you all power. Why are you not giving something to your wife? So the singularity of sanctuary is, I'm glad y'all caught some of that. The singularity of sanctuary basically means that Christ is there in the most holy place, metaphorically, amen, metaphorically, and he's talking to me about me. There is never a private worship. He's always there with me. Amen. Personal preference versus triple standards. Some of you folks can't stand the word double standard. In the pew where I sit, I not only hold you to a double standard, I hold you to a triple standard. Got this? You are my pastor. You cannot lead me in righteousness unless you are first righteous. The blind can't lead the blind. I told Barry Black to his face, look, Barry, this is the deal. You must live above the world's morality. President Obama, I don't care about the policies. God bless him. Stimulus package, no stimulus package. I don't, well, whatever. My only concern is that President Obama and Michelle, as a couple, live well above the world's morality. Now, pastors, teachers, and preachers, I'm in the pew. I'm a member. You're my leader. There is a double standard. I'm sorry. If your marriage is in bad shape, I'm having problems with your ministry. But then there's another standard that I've just found out about, and I know it's controversial as heck. It's the standard characterized by the 144,000. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And forgive me, Ellen White says you will know them when you see them. I want now to go up, just being a Seventh-day Adventist is cool and Christian and all that. But there is a character format. There is a character type of the 144,000. I may not be in the the symbolic number or the literal. I don't really care about that, theologians. But I care deeply about their character. That's what I'm after. That's what I'm after. So not only am I just a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I want to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian who looks and talks and walks and follows the Lamb exactly like this 144,000 do. And that's strictly personal. Financial exploration versus the Bank of Glory. Y'all know AIG? I got some bad news for myself. I served you, Lord, all my life, and my stock portfolio is down 35%. And if they don't get it right, Lord, it's going to be worse than that. What shall I do? He said, Joe, just like the milk expires, your retirement fund is going to expire and be worthless. Now, here's the challenge. Before your retirement fund goes to zero and it expires, are you going to transfer what's left into the Bank of Glory? Shh. There are people within the Adventist Church who are cashing out their entire retirement portfolios and properties and giving it to the church while it still has some value. That's called expiration date. Now, I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm paying attention. I want to make sure that when there's a bona fide, no change, let me cash in and give it to the Bank of Glory. What is the Bank of Glory? Doesn't rot? Doesn't fall apart? And my bread and water are going to be sure because AIG's in bad shape. Amen? It's just a concept. I'm not going to take this heaven with me. I want to make sure that God can use it while I'm here. I thank you for the concept called the Bank of Glory. Oh, hell. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I want to apologize to you folks who are just Christians. Never, ever mix me up personally with other kinds of Christians and what they do. I'm sorry. Carlton Pearson had a big ministry at Azusa out in California. He got in his mind that there was no hell. Oral Roberts worked with him, and he worked with him, and they finally put him out, Oral Roberts and all those individuals. Carlton Pearson decided he was going to become the pastor of a lesbian Christian church. This is personal. I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I don't want you to go past that. We were once Baptist Christians. You understand that? We left the Baptist church for a different Christian experience. It affected my life, my diet, my marriage, my finances. For the poor black family in the South, it is an economic escalator. There is no greater investment than returning tithes on a consistent basis. That's just in my family. So I want you to know, as the seminarians talk among themselves, I'm listening. I want to declare personally that as long as the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists exists as institution, I am not just a Christian. Because I have a unique mission and a unique message, Revelation 14, and I'm not going to give it up. Thank God for Joel Osteen. Thank God for T.D. Jakes. Thank God for everybody. Reverend Sonya Moon, thank God for everybody who's a Christian. But please don't call me just a Christian. Yes, sir. I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I got two things to tell you. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, amen. And he is not going to be put off his throne. Amen. I don't care what the Catholic Church says, he is still sitting in the cathedral of time as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the Holy Day Sabbath. Amen. And Jesus is coming again. I love my atheist friends. I don't believe in Jesus. Jesus has some gay friends and Jesus was mad. I said, get away from me. I want you to confirm one thing for me. Prove to me empirically and follow that Jesus is not coming again. I want you to prove to me. I don't care about the writer P, the writer J, New Testament, Babylon. I don't care about all of it. Just make one thing clear to me. Jesus cannot, is not, shall not coming again. That I'm okay. Until you prove that, I am a Seventh-day Adventist of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, no, no, no. Let's get this straight. For those of you who are going to leave the Adventist Church and form your own independent Sabbath-keeping organization, let's get this clear. Ellen White doesn't go with you. She is the copyright of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. She has no prophecies. She has no testimonies for your breakaway independent Sabbath-keeping church. And I mean that's personal. Fellowship versus socialize. How much time we got? 2 minutes and we get out of here. Fellowship is sitting up here now, right? We fellowshipping. But that doesn't build a church. We got to socialize. You in my house, I'm in your house, we traveling together. People have to interact outside the worship experience to build a congregation, amen? So here's one, I'm finding out now. A great pastor is first a great social director. Let's move on. Oh Lord, breaking the Sabbath versus wasting the Sabbath. I have wasted so many Sabbaths of my life. I don't know whether I broke it or not. I just wasted it. Are you following me on this? Please try to get this image in your mind. Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. This is my metaphorical model. He's sitting on his throne on the seventh-day Sabbath with nothing to do but see about me. I'm ripping and running, running and ripping and everything I'm doing. And Christ says, I sure do miss my time with you. You walk around with that cancer. Don't you know that I love to heal on the Sabbath? Why don't you just sit yourself down and say, look, Jesus, this is the 24-hour cathedral in time where you've got nothing to do but see about me. I am not ever again. I'm never wasting another Sabbath. I used to travel and speak. I found out that I wasted the entire weekend ministering to others. Here's my new plan. I don't get there until Friday, and I don't do Friday night services anymore. I need some Sabbath, too. I need some Sabbath, too. I do my Sabbath thing, and we flew at sunset. I go back to my hotel room, and I get me some more of the Sabbath, and I leave on Sunday morning. I've given up flying on the Sabbath. I've given up flying and traveling on the Sabbath. I need some Sabbath too. I don't know whether I'm breaking the Sabbath, but I sure did waste it. I sure did waste it. Judgment versus extraction. You folks have taught me that Jesus is not coming to kill the wicked. No, he's coming to get me. Do you catch the difference? He's coming to get me. Jesus, if you love me, come get me. He's coming to extract me. Now, how will he know what I am? Because I look like him and I act like him and I'm on the solid rock of his salvation. I am so blessed that the second coming of Jesus isn't about judgment to me at all anymore. Thank you, seminarians. It's about me being ready to be extracted. Taken up out of here. And those of us who remain shall be what? Caught up. Hallelujah. It's an extraction. Thank you, Jesus. I love it. Thank you, seminarians. I love it, love it. World-class Seventh-day Adventists versus visiting guests. I am under deep conviction that when I go to a church other than my home church, Adventist Church, I am not a visiting guest. I am a world-class Seventh-day Adventist. Anywhere I go on the globe, I join the service, I participate, I shake hands, I greet people. I don't wait for them to greet me. I am a world-class Seventh-day Adventist. Any church in the whole wide world is what I do. Oh God, here we go. We out of here. Age of Obama. This is fascinating to me. We're starting to talk about 2010 in Atlanta. Is it time for a person of color to be president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists? I'm enthralled by the discussion. If the Lord so live, in 2015, are we going to ordain women? Shh. I think God allowed Barack Obama to become president to give the Seventh-day Adventist Church a time to catch up. Never again. Never again do I call my church historically black church. I think the age of Obama's kind of wiped that away a little bit. Folks, I am flat out excited that God may choose to let this economic crisis be as soft as it can to give the Seventh-day Adventist Church its last chance to do what we're supposed to do in the age of Obama. I'm feeling good about this. For the years that we have been lax in our social thinking and our equity and our racial issues, all kinds of issues, I think the age of Obama is our chance to ride the wave. This is how severe it is. There were two blacks in the Senate before this, only two, Barry Black and Barack Obama. There were only two blacks in the Senate, Barry Black and Barack Obama. Do you think they ever talked about religion as two soul brothers? Barack Obama and Mrs. Obama are looking for a home church. Can they join the Seventh-day Adventist Church at this time? Are you with me on this? Or must they decide between the Michigan Conference and the Lake Region Conference? Listen to me, church. We do not want President and Mrs. Obama joining our church at this time and Rush Limbaugh find out about it. May God bless us all. One view from the pew. I thank the seminary professors. I thank the dean. I thank all of you. You have challenged me in many, many ways. You're giving me new vocabulary, but of everything else, you are giving me a hardcore commitment to be exactly like Christ in all that I say and do. This is just some of the thinking of one view from the pew. I think we're done, aren't we? Do I can close? Sing? Okay. Let's have a benediction, please. Stand for benediction. Father, it's always personal. You thought it not robbery and took it on personally to come down here. We're going to have to be personal to get up there. Lord, convert us all to be exactly like you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother. May I have your attention?